welcome back to Cardiac Reading for Teens. For those of you who don't know, I'm Bia, and Cardiac Reading for Teens is a place where teens can come together with other teens to learn about spiritist teachings and topics in a way that makes sense to us and is more relatable to us as teenagers in today's society. For a few weeks now, we've been working in the section in the Spirits book that's about moral laws. So we've been talking, because we talked a lot about kind of like scientific things of like why this happens, why that happens, why in the spirit world this happens, why in the corporeal world this happens. We talked a lot about these like facts, but now we're talking about the moral laws. We talk about getting up this ladder to perfection, but how do we do it? And we do it by following these moral laws. So now we're getting more into these laws. So last week we started off the law of reproduction, and we have one more section within that to do today. So that's what we'll pick up at question 700. So this section in the law of reproduction is titled polygamy. And polygamy is when a person has one or more, has more than one husband or wife at the same time. So it's like one person who has three wives at the same time with them all knowing about it. And if we kind of try and break down the word, poly usually means more than one. So that's what they're saying. Poly is in more than one spouse at the same time. So question 700. Is the approximate numerical equality between the sexes an indication of the proportion in which they ought to be united? So here the question is saying, so between the sexes, like male and female, there's relatively like the same amount. Like it's pretty like half and half if you split the population. It's pretty half and half. So they're saying, so does that indicate how we should be united? Like, if it's half and half, that means, like, theoretically, one girl should have one boy, right? Is what the question is saying. And, even two boys and two boys, two girls and two girls, but it should kind of be even because we have, like, an even amount of people. And the spirits answered, yes. For everything in nature has a final purpose. So yeah, so this does indicate the proportion. So if it is kind of half and half, if we have kind of even amounts of people, then we should split it up into two, basically, is what they're saying. Because there is a final purpose. Question 701. Which of the two, polygamy or monogamy, is more in harmony with the law of nature? So they're saying, which one is better, like polygamy, which is like having more than one spouse at the same time, or monogamy, which is just having one spouse at a time? And just to be clear, polygamy isn't like you get married and then you have a divorce and then you have and then you get married again. Those are like separate things because you're only married to one person at the same time. Polygamy is like you're married to multiple people at the same time. So they're saying, so which one is more with the law of nature? Only being with one person or being with multiple people? And the spirits answered, polygamy is a human law, and abolishing it as a mark of is a mark of social progress. In God's view, marriage should be based on the love of the individual who joins hands. In polygamy, there is no true love. There is nothing more than sensuality. So what the spirits are saying here is that polygamy is a human law. It wasn't like a law that God created. It was just a human law that's created. So once we finally get past polygamy, once we're like, okay, let's not do that anymore, that will be progress, which means that's not really the best human law that we have, that we can do that. Because in God's view, marriage should be because of love. People should be united because of love. And in these relationships, usually it's not, there's no true love is what they're saying. Usually it's just sensual and there's really no true love. So that it like doesn't really count. It's not really like doing what marriage is supposed to do in God's view. So polygamy, it's not really like one of the greatest things we have. So if we like get rid of that and once we go evolving from that, we will be progressing. And then Alan Kardec puts his own comment in and he says, if polygamy were in accord with the law of nature, it would be universal, which would be materially impossible due to the numerical equality of the sexes. Polygamy must be regarded as an institution or particular legislation appropriate for certain customs, but which social perfection will make disappear little by little. So what they're saying is that if polygamy was in the law of nature, then we would see it a lot more. We would see it widespread. But now we only hear about cases here and there. We don't really see it. That's not like the normal thing. So you can kind of tell it's not in the law of nature. If it was within the law of nature, we would see a lot more of it in a lot bigger quantities. But as more people go like realizing this and realizing this isn't really like true love and it's not really what God wants, we will like drift away from that little by little. And also they're saying because of the equality in sexes. And of course, we have to remember that at this time that the book was written, there wasn't any gay marriages or anything like that. So right here, the way the book is explaining it, it's very one, like, oh, there's one female for one male. But of course we know that gay marriage is also would be the same, like, it would be the same. So it'd be one male, or one female. But the point is that there's kind of this, like, even divide. So it does not, like, one male needs, like, four females. Like, that wouldn't be split evenly. But we do have to keep in mind when we're studying the Spirit's book and any type of book that of the time period that the book was written. In this time period, the Spirits couldn't say anything about gay equality or gay marriage because that wasn't something of the time. People, like, would not even begin to understand it. But now in our society, we've evolved to understand that and to accept it, which is a good thing, which is what God wants. We to accept this, and this is a correct thing. So even though that may be unclear in the book, but it's because of the time period, not because of, like, what the Spirits are saying. They don't mean it directly like that. They just mean for the time period, it didn't serve to say anything about gay marriage or equality and anything like that. But now we can apply that. And because we're more advanced than just thinking that it's one man and one woman. And this is amazing to show that as many problems that we do have in our society today, we have grown a lot. We've grown from being able to openly talk to this to where before it, like, wasn't even mentioned at all. So we are growing a lot in positive ways. We're progressing. So that's the end of this chapter about the law of reproduction. And now we're going on to the next chapter in this part, chapter 5. And we're going to talk about the law of preservation. So the first section is called the self-preservation instinct. So kind of this instinct you have to, like, preserve yourself, to keep yourself alive. So this instinct that you have. Question 702. Is the self-preservation instinct a law of nature? So is this instinct to, like, preserve ourselves, to keep ourselves alive, is that in the law of nature? And the Spirit said, absolutely. All living beings possess it, regardless of their degree of intelligence. In some, it is purely mechanical. In others, it is thought out. So, yeah, this isn't a law of nature because all living beings have it. Some obviously think about it more, and some just do it by mechanical, like, let's say, like, plants. Like, plants, they grow in different ways. They get nutrients in different ways, trying to preserve themselves. Of course, that's, like, just a mechanical thing that the plant's doing. It's not thinking about it, but it's still doing that nonetheless. And also, animals have self-preservation instincts to defend themselves, to keep themselves alive, and as well as humans. So all living beings possess this instinct to, like, preserve ourselves. Question 703. What was God's purpose in granting the instinct of self-preservation to all living beings? So, okay, if all living beings have this, what's the purpose? Why? Why do we all have this? And the Spirits answered, all beings must collaborate in the design of providence. That is why God has given them the need to stay alive. Besides, life is necessary for beings to perfect themselves. They sense this instinctively without perceiving it. So, we have this instinct because when we talk about, oh, we want to reach perfection, right? We talk about going up this ladder. Well, going up this ladder means you have to do work. You have to put in work. You have to go through trials. You have to learn things. You have to do a lot to get up these ladders to get towards that perfection. And we need to do that by being on earth and going through trials and experiencing things. But if we don't have the instinct to, be alive, or, we would all be, clumsy all the time. We wouldn't, care about dying, or we wouldn't care about staying alive. So we'd be clumsy, and it would just be, we wouldn't be on earth as long as we are. And then it would be a shorter time for us to do any trials and expiations and learn anything, because it'd be cut short, because we weren't even trying to keep ourselves alive. We didn't have the instinct to eat food to keep ourselves alive. So then we wouldn't last so long. So with this instinct, it helps us keep ourselves alive and preserve ourselves as we are, so we can learn more and do more trials while we're here. And now it's on to the next section, which is the means of self-preservation. So, the ways in which we preserve ourselves. Question 704. Since God has always given human beings the need to stay alive, does God also provide them with the means of doing so? So, we're saying, God said, here, you'll have the need to stay alive. You'll want to stay alive. But does he also give you the means of, doing so? Of, here, you should stay alive, and here's how. And the spirits answered, yes, and if they do not find them, it is because they do not understand them. God could not have given humans the need to stay alive without also having given them the means. Hence, the Creator has caused the earth to produce in such a way as to provide for the needs of all its inhabitants, for only that which is necessary is useful. The superfluous never is. So, of course, if God was you're going to have the instinct to want to stay alive, he obviously gave us the necessary things to be able to stay alive. So we do have these resources, but we also need to see what we actually need and what we just want. And we don't actually, you're saying, if God gives me everything, then why don't I have this or why don't I have that? Well, that's not a necessity to stay alive. There's things that are necessities, like food and shelter and water, and there's those things that are necessary to stay alive, and those we are provided, and we can find a means of getting those things. And we can see in some cultures on earth today, they're still very behind in advancements and stuff, but they do have these basic needs. They do have the necessities. Yes, they might have to work so much harder to get their food, to get their water, and it's much more of a struggle for them, but they are provided with these things in some form. But of course, the things that aren't really necessary, that are just wants to us, especially us, we're a spoiled society of having so many things. But those aren't necessities. Those people don't need that. They're just thinking about the necessities. Question 705. Why doesn't the earth always produce enough to provide for humans' needs? So why doesn't the earth produce enough? Sometimes we're lacking things. We're saying here, with some cultures and some areas, they don't have as much as we have. So why doesn't the earth just provide enough for all of us? And the spirits answered, since they are ungrateful, they neglect her. Nevertheless, she is an excellent mother. Frequently, they blame nature for the consequence of their own incompetence or lack of foresight. The earth would always produce what is needed if humans knew how to be content. If she does not supply all their needs, it is because they use her to provide themselves with superfluities instead of necessities. Look at the nomads in the desert. They always find enough to live on because they do not create imaginary needs. But when half of it that is produced is wasted on satisfying fanciful desires, should people wonder at finding nothing the next day and have a reason to pity themselves in being deprived in times of scarcity? In truth, I tell you that nature is not stingy. Rather, people do not know how to control themselves. So they're saying, so the question was saying, if Earth is like here to help us like survive and provide for us, why isn't there enough for all human needs? There is enough. The problem is there is enough for all human needs, except some people are greedy. Some people say Earth provided this much crops for us, this much food for us. Some people take more than they should. Some people start taking extra when it's not what they need. They're just taking extra. So then they kind of take it away from someone else. So there is enough, but we don't know how to share yet. We haven't gotten to that point of knowing how to share. We're still thinking about ourselves before others. So we don't know how to share. We don't know how to, let's say, eat less or consume less or do something less that could help someone else. And maybe we don't even realize it, but that could really help someone else. Because there is enough for all of us, but we have to share. We can't take 3 people's servings just for ourselves. And this is where we have to come in and start thinking about what we need versus what we want and what's extra that we don't need. We just maybe want that, but we don't need that. There's things that first we have to focus on our needs and the needs of other people. Question 706. Should we understand only the products of the soil as being fruits of the earth? So when we talk about like fruits of the earth, like food that the earth is giving us, should we understand it only products that are like coming from soil? And the spirits answered, the soil is the original source from which all the resources derive, because in the latest analysis, such resources are only transformed of the products from the soil. For that reason, we should understand the fruits of the earth to be everything that humans can enjoy in this world. So what they're saying here, so the earth is like providing for us. Does that mean only like vegetables and things growing from the ground? And they're saying, well, technically, whatever's growing, everything else that's made, like food-wise, it's from the vegetables and the other things that grow in the ground. So technically, all of these things, all foods and stuff Earth is providing for us are fruits of the earth, because maybe there's a salad. Oh, but the salad wasn't just, like, a salad didn't grow out of the ground, but the vegetables and everything grew from the ground, and then we put that together and we changed that and made it into a salad. So really, everything is a fruit from the earth that humans are transforming and using in different ways. Question 707. The means of subsistence are frequently lacking for certain individuals, even in the midst of the abundance around them. What is this fact due? So they're saying, so sometimes, even when everyone else has a lot of stuff, some people are still struggling to get enough, to get their needs. So why? How come when maybe everyone else seems like they have everything, this person or this particular group still can't have enough? So, and then the spirits answered, it is primarily due to the selfishness of humans, who do not always do as they should do. Next, and most often, it is due to humans themselves. Seek and you shall find. These words do not mean that it is enough to simply look at the earth in order to find what you desire. Instead, you must seek with ardor and perseverance, without indifference, and without allowing yourself to be discouraged by obstacles that are quite often no more than means of putting your tensity, patience, and firmness to the test. So what they're saying is, one reason why everyone seems to have everything and some people don't is because of selfishness, like we talked about before. Like, if there's a big, let's say there's a big pile of food, people don't just take what they need, they take extra, they take more. So then the last person to come to the pile is not going to have anything because some people took extra. So one thing that they're saying is because there are selfish people who are taking more than they should and leaving others without anything. But also, and most often they're saying, is that it's due to the person themselves. Because the thing is, seek and you will find. But we have to go seek. Like, we can't just sit here and say, oh, I need food. Oh, I need food. We have to go and try and work to get money, or we have to go and try and like, maybe ask people for help. We can't just sit here and wait for someone to come help us. We you have to go look for help and maybe go look for work, and it's not just gonna show up at our dinner table. We have to work for it, and it will appear. If we work for it, we work hard, seek and we will find. We will find it. We will get the means of it. But we have to work a little hard. We have to put ourselves out there. We can't just sit back and wait for it to magically happen on its own. And then Allan Kardec puts his own comment in. He says, "If civilization multiplies our needs, it also multiplies the sources of labor and the means for living. But one must agree that in this sense, there is still much to be done. When civilization has accomplished its task, no one will be able to say that they lack what is needed, except through their own fault. For many, misfortune happens when they choose a path nature has not traced out for them, and that is when they lack the intelligence required to succeed. There is a place in the sun for all, but on the condition that all take it on their own place and not that of others. Nature cannot be responsible for the vices of social organization and the consequences of ambition and vanity." So we all have our own needs, and we all will get our needs. It's laid out for us so that we can all get our needs and we can all accomplish this as a civilization to. But it's not like the earth's fault that people are greedy and people are still thinking about themselves and the way society is organized. So there's all of these different things that we can't blame nature for. Nature is providing as much as it can, but then it's like kind of humans that are messing it up, not nature. Then he continues, "We would have to be blind, however, if we did not recognize the progress that the most advanced cultures have made in this sense. Thanks to the laudable efforts that philanthropy and science together have unceasingly put forth for the improvement of humankind's material conditions, and notwithstanding the constant increase in population, insufficiency of production has been attenuated, at least for the most part, and the most calamitous years have no comparison to those in former. Public hygiene, the element so essential to health and to energy and health, but unknown to our ancestors, is the object of an enlightened mindfulness. The unfortunate and suffering find place of refuge, and science has been put into action everywhere, contributing to the growth of everyone's well-being. Might it be said that we have finally attained perfection? Oh, certainly not. But what has been accomplished so far has given us an idea of what can be done with perseverance of men and women, if men and women are sensible enough to seek contentment in real serious things, rather than utopias, and cause them to go backwards instead of advancing." So what they're saying here is that as much as we are, like, we're still not sharing, and we're still not, like, properly distributing everything, people are still being selfish, we do have some progress. We are making progress in these cultures, and like I said, like, science is growing so much, and it's becoming widespread, and, like, even stuff like personal hygiene, that are years back, they didn't have personal hygiene, and now we have personal hygiene, which is already helping us, helping our population in other ways. So little things, like, we are advancing, and we're still far from perfection. We're nowhere near perfection, but we are working there. We are, as a society, working up this ladder. And of course, we have to continue to work on these serious, important topics, these real topics, because sometimes we focus on these little things that don't even matter. But if we focus on these real, sensible, serious topics, then we'll be able to keep advancing instead of, like, just dilly-dallying and, like, not moving anywhere on this ladder. If we do focus on real serious things, we'll learn more, advance more, and move up our ladder towards perfection as a society. So that's where we'll leave off today, and we'll finish this section and then finish talking about the law of preservation next week. But before we leave off, I'd like to read our message from the Daily Book of Positive Quotations by Linda Picone for today's date, March 20th. This is titled, "Trying to Be Happy." If only we'd stop trying to be happy, we'd have a pretty good time. We can spend a lot of time, money, energy, trying to make ourselves happy. Eating fancy meals, going on expensive vacations, throwing big parties, buying nice clothes. We think these things will bring us happiness. But often, our happiness is short-lived, lasting about as long as it takes to get heartburn from eating too much, return to work from vacation, cleaning up after a party, or realizing that we don't look as nice in our new clothes as we hoped we did. If we could learn to find happiness from moments to moments in the small things in life, we'd always have a pretty good time. I don't need something outside of myself to make me happy. Happiness is a choice that I can make under almost any circumstance. If at all you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, anything you want to talk about at all, feel free to email me at cardiacradioforteens@gmail.com and I'll get back to you right away. I'm Bia, and this has been Cardiac Radio for Teens. Thank you all for listening.